to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Don't none go with me, I still will follow.
Yes.
Don't none go with me, I still will follow. Don't none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Extravagantly generous Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Good Father.
People want power to rule over others, but they need the power of the Holy Spirit inside them to help others.
Amen.
People are looking for things when they ought to be looking for a person.
Yes.
People are looking for things when they ought to be looking for a relationship with God, their Creator. I just a little extra on that.
That's good.
So we're looking at, getting back to 2 Peter.
Yeah.
Last time, it may seem like this is all disjointed, not ever, but all of this I was talking about came from knowledge. We need to know. We need to hear. We need to know Holy Spirit, so we can know the truth and have faith in the truth, and that we can work all the works that we need to work for God.
Amen.
So, looking at 2 Peter, I'm just start back at verse 1 real quick, so we can tie it all together. And I'll be reading from the ESV. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the reason I wanted to go back and read verse 1, because verses 2 through 4, he expands on that a little bit, but in 5 he comes back to talk about verse 1, something he talked about in verse 1. And what's he talking about? He says that faith of, what does it say, something?
Like precious.
Like precious faith. That actually just means, that's just old English for equal standing, okay? A faith of equal standing, all right? So then in verse 5, he comes back to this. He's giving some reasons. He says, for this very reason, and he's talking about verses 2 through 4. So he says, for this very reason, make every effort. Be diligent. Press on. Okay? Work hard at to supplement your faith with virtue. And virtue with knowledge.
Yep.
And knowledge with self-control. And self-control or temperance with steadfastness. Steadfastness with godliness.
Yep.
And godliness with brotherly affection.
Yeah.
And brotherly affection with love. Okay? So we want to look at these. You know, I tell you, we've talked before, I said, you know, we don't want to focus on bad things. We want to focus on the good things, right?
Yeah.
So today we're going to focus on the good things.
Yeah.
We got a whole list of good things here we can focus on. So, you know, my wife and I, we got married when I was 27, she was 25. 5 years later, we had our first child. So we kind of got a late start. But we tried to make up for it.
How many kids, Ray?
We got seven.
Seven
kids.
Bless them.
And we started it. 30? So she was 30?
Yeah.
So.
Whoa.
So, my oldest is 32 today. 32, 33. 33, I guess. It's hard to keep up, you know, in my mind here. So anyway, you know, when you have a child, you know, you see a lot of that one child. But when you have a lot of children, you learn a lot more.
Yes, amen.
You find out that every child is similar. They got the similar genes, you know. They got the same DNA sort of thing, you know, it's just the parents. And when you go out, someone will say, oh yeah, that looks like your child. I recognize your child. It looks like, you know, maybe we're apart and we come together. Oh yeah, that's just your child. So they look a little bit like their parents. So they're all similar in that way. Then you also realize every child is different. Every child has a different personality. Every child is just a little bit different. So it's like, oh wow, okay. You know, we can enjoy each one of them for what their strengths are, you know. And we can work with them. So what Peter is presenting here, he's presenting us eight things. He says, now you've got your faith. You've obtained a faith of equal standing with us. Now he says, okay, now I want you to add to that faith these items here. And I wrote a few of them up here on the board, all right? Probably not in the order he did, but they'll come around. But, we got faith. He says, add to your faith. I think he says virtue next, and then he says knowledge. And then self-control or temperance. Okay. Now the reason they changed this word, they don't use temperance. Why do you think that is? Because temperance took on a different meaning in the 20th century. All right? The temperance movement in the early part of the 20th century led, that's right, Mary, it led to prohibition. They promoted abstinence of all alcoholic drink, okay? So they called that the temperance movement. Well, that's not exactly what temperance means. Temperance means, let me see if I got it, it means, the word temperance, or the Greek word that was translated temperance, actually means self-control. It means mastery of one's desires and passions. You don't let them run away. You don't let them take off and leave. Okay? It doesn't mean that you don't have desires and passions. It means that you're in charge. Okay?
Yeah.
You don't let them get out of hand. You don't let them go to excess. All right? And so that's why they started translating that word differently. Because we changed the definition of temperance, and so now it means self-control. How control of yourself, how control of your passions and desire. So let's look at some of these. I'm going to do, first off, when we look at this, I'll go ahead and write.
But you know, Ray, as we look at some of these, it reminds us of the fruits of the Spirit.
I am so glad you said that, Mary. Okay, well, that's exactly what I want to talk about. That's exactly what I want to talk about. If you'll notice here, just like she said, we have some overlap, don't we? Paul gave us the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, all right? Nine fruit, all right? And you'll notice that Peter has pulled out some of the same ones. Okay, three of them are the same. Three of them are the same. And what do we know about fruit? It has to be grown.
Yeah.
Right? Fruit has to be grown.
Yeah.
Fruit of the Spirit is grown by increasing the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
our lives. We can increase the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
That's good, Ray.
That fruit will grow.
Yes.
Fruit will grow.
Jesus.
So you focus on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, have control. I give you control. I listen to you. I do what you say. Right? Whatever, like Dursa said, he listens to God.
Amen.
He convinced himself, I'm going to do whatever you say.
Amen.
It don't matter how weird it is. It don't matter how strange it is. I'm going to do what you say.
Yeah.
All right? Like Ruth. All right? We'll get into that a little bit later. Okay? But, you know, Ruth, whatever you say, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So, we listen to the Holy Spirit. And we may be in a service, or we may be, you know, at Walmart or someplace, wherever, you know. The Holy Spirit may say, go over to that person that you don't even know and say these words. And they don't even make any sense to you.
Yeah.
And you just go over and do it. You say, well, that's kind of strange. Am I sure I'm hearing right? You know? Am I sure I'm hearing right? But you go over and you do it, and you find out that's just what that person needed to hear.
Or at the same time, you don't have to find out what the person needed. So sometimes you don't see the results right then.
Well, that's true.
Ourself can get in it too much. It's God's responsibility,
not yours. You do it by faith.
You do it by faith.
Yeah, you do it in obedience. And you do that obedience by faith. And you say, I trust, Holy Spirit knows what what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just going to be a willing instrument. Okay?
Amen.
And that's how you're going to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. All right?
Mm-hmm. It's good to have it instant, though. And lots of times it is instant.
It is. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so I wanted to look at these, and I just wanted to give a brief definition to make sure we got all of these in our heads correct, mm-hmm. okay? Because we don't use these words a whole lot sometimes. But faith, here's a definition of faith I've got. Faith is believing that Jesus was the Son of God, and that the best way I can spend my life on earth is by doing what Jesus said I should do.
Man, that'll work.
I like that.
What's the best way I can spend my life on earth? Uh-huh. Do what Jesus said.
What he said.
Mm-hmm. Not what I think I should do, but what he says.
Yeah.
So, faith, like Mary says, you know, you hear the Holy Spirit, and you do it, and you may not see the results.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will take it and use it. Mm-hmm. You may not see it, but you'll know about it in heaven when you get there, okay? Mm-hmm. He'll let you know then, all right? Virtue, we'll skip knowledge, actually. I've done so much time on knowledge, I think everybody knows what knowledge is. Mm-hmm. But virtue is, it's actually, this Greek word is translated praises
mm-hmm.
in 1 Peter 2:9. It's translated praises.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it is it's behavior showing high moral standards.
Yes.
Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Self-control, I think everybody pretty much knows that. It's the mastery of one's desires and passions. Steadfastness. This is from the Thayer lexicon. It says, in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is not, or a woman, who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're going to stick with it.
I always said.
No matter what comes against you, mm-hmm. you're going to be true to God.
I always said, yeah. Consistently constant.
Consistently, there you go.
Yeah.
Consistently, you're going to always follow God.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
No turning back. There you go. That song is all about steadfastness.
Yeah.
I will.
No turning back.
I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
No turning back.
Uh-huh. Period.
Yeah.
That song is all about that.
Mm-hmm.
No, none go with me. I'm still going to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Godly. Yes. Basically, it comes from God and Lee. Which is having the qualities of basically acting or behaving like Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The character of God's what I've written here.
Acting or behaving like Christ.
Yeah.
Earlier the verse, he talks about we are partakers of the divine nature.
Yes.
Peter says, we are partakers. We actually take.
Yeah.
We actually get to eat some of that divine nature.
Yes.
Yeah.
We actually get to have some of that divine nature in us.
In us.
Yeah. I don't know if this is works with that one, but I don't know. I guess I heard this from a preacher I got written down. I've got live the character of God is godliness, and then godliness is the ability to resist sin.
Ooh.
I don't know who gave me that. One of the preachers did somewhere because I wrote it down.
And well, it is because when you are focused on God, you are not focused on
sin. And what you put your mind on, that's what
you're not focused on temptation. You're not focused on your desires. You're focused on what God wants.
Yes.
See, that's the whole thing about focus.
Yeah.
What do we focus on?
Yeah.
What you focus on is what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So don't focus on sin.
Right.
You got a problem with sin? If you got a particular sin in your life you got a problem with, don't focus on trying to get rid of that sin.
Amen. Yeah. That's good.
Okay? Focus on God.
On God, yeah.
Every time that part, you know, if you have a particular time of your day that you are especially tempted by this sin, replace. When that time of day comes by, says, I'm going to spend that time in Bible study.
And that connects with what you said. Godliness is the character of living out what God does. And when you focus on God, you're going to live through his character.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Good, that's great, that's great. Then we have brotherly affection, and Peter does this kind of interestingly, doesn't he? He has brotherly affection, and then he has love.
Mm-hmm.
Or the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Greek, they had different words for love. Okay? They had eros, which is the love between a man and a woman, a husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had philios, or Philadelphia, all right, in this case. We can get the name of a city, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love,
uh-huh.
Brotherly affection, okay? This means love you have for your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about, Peter's here. But then he has another word, it has another word for love, it's called agape.
Mm-hmm.
Agape. Now this agape Greek word is the word that is used in the New Testament when Jesus is talking about how God loved the world.
Yeah.
God agape the world,
mm-hmm.
in this way, that he gave his only son.
Yeah.
There was action there.
Mm-hmm. Sorry?
It's action. It's not an action.
It is action. It is
because
action.
Because he gave his son.
So you got a
he
brother.
He can say, I love you, but not do anything about it.
Now, Peter, it's kind of interesting that Peter used this because if you read the last chapter of John, all right,
mm-hmm.
when Peter is gone fishing with the disciples, they didn't catch anything, and they come to approach the shore.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is on the shore cooking breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and he says, well, cast your net off on the other side, guys.
Yeah.
And they do, and they pick up all these fish.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus realizes, Peter realizes, it's the Lord. Mm-hmm. He jumps out of the boat, runs over, and they all sit around and have breakfast together. And then, of course, you remember, Jesus asked Peter those questions.
Yes.
Peter, do you agape me?
Mm-hmm.
And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I filios.
Yeah.
And a little while later, Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I filios.
Uh-huh.
Well, feed my sheep. And then a little bit later, Jesus says, Peter, do you filios?
Mm-hmm.
And Peter said, Lord, you know that I filios. Okay? He said, well, feed my sheep.
Uh-huh.
So Peter, I think that made a deep impression on Peter.
Yeah.
And he remembered that. He says, you know, we need both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be doing both.
Yeah.
I don't just need to be doing filios.
Yeah.
I need to be doing agape.
Yeah.
I need to be loving like God loves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what Jesus said when he was telling his disciples. He said, I want you to love one another
mm-hmm.
as I have loved you.
Yeah.
And you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
That you agape one another as I have agape you.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about here,
mm-hmm.
with that love here.
Yeah.
So I wanted to finish this up here.
It's not technical, but it's a question.
Yeah.
Peter didn't have it in at that time to agape love you. Because that's the love of God inside you as a fruit of the Spirit. Did he have that ability? That's just putting it out. I don't know. Unless I probably don't even need the answer. But you have a deep, when God comes in you and the love of God, that's the agape love. Maybe Peter didn't have that ability right then. And God was showing him that he needed it.
I think that, you know.
Did he have that? Could he have the agape?
Well, he, not fully, because.
Yes.
That was after Jesus had died. He came back to him.
Yeah.
They didn't realize what Jesus had done.
Yeah.
But I noticed that the Lord told them that last.
Yeah, because they were practical. They were born again then.
Because they never seen that kind of love.
Yeah.
Before.
Okay. Gotcha. I didn't think about that.
Once Jesus died for them, they were introduced to it.
Mhm.
Then he told them to love like him. Before he said love like you love others like you want people to love you.
Yes, that's true.
And then after he died for them, he said love like I love you. And then as they realized. If the impact came on Pentecost, that's when everything clicked.
Yes.
When they got a revelation.
They had a revelation of that love.
The Holy Spirit did just what he said he would do. Mm-hmm. Teach, lead, and guide you. Mm-hmm. And bring things back to your remembrance, what Jesus has said.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit. Remember now, after the Holy Spirit came and they got the Holy Spirit, you didn't hear them whining about Jesus no more. Jesus, don't go. You don't go. Yeah.
They had a revelation.
They like, hey, look on us. You know, they had a revelation. But Jesus had set our atmosphere in that room.
Yes. Yeah, that's where it started.
Before the Holy Ghost. He had set that atmosphere for the Holy Ghost to land.
That's right.
And we know Peter and them, they did it too, but Jesus had to release some things there for the Holy Ghost to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes it important for all church services to have that atmosphere for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In our homes, not just in church services.
Everything Jesus taught them came
everywhere.
That night.
And see, Peter was also struggling with denying the Lord. And he's like, how can you love me? And I denied you and stuff like that. He was struggling with love, with his own love, because he couldn't understand how somebody can love you. And, you know, you done did all that, you know.
Yeah.
So you come back to me and ask me to, you know. But
yeah, you know, Peter denied Jesus three times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he had a chance. Say that he loved Jesus.
Three times.
Huh, I never thought of that.
And he meant it.
All said that. Now, you know, it's like you said, disciples didn't know what was going on when things were happening.
That's right.
But it was only later, like Mary says, that they remembered, and then it started,
the Holy Ghost,
that's what that meant.
The Holy Ghost brought it back to their remembrance. And he also revealed to them what was going on. I mean, their eyes was open.
Yeah.
To what was going on. They went, whoa, yeah, it is better that he went.
Yeah. Yeah. We got it.
We got it going on there.
Okay, so let me read through here just a little bit. And we're going to finish up because we're almost.
I don't think we're going to be able to finish up.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be able to finish this. So, but I just wanted, I'll pick this up next time. But he says here, he's talking about, for a good part of the rest of the chapter, he says in 2 Peter 1:8, he says, for if these things, or the ESV has these qualities, are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. What verse is that?
That's verse 8. 2 Peter 1, verse 8. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, that's what fruit does, right? It increases, right?
It's sweeter.
Yeah. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Comes back to knowledge, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he talks about this a little bit more. We'll get to that next time. Okay?
If they become yours, not nobody else. You know, sometimes we try to live on somebody else's faith. But if they become yours.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll end there. And David, would you pray for us?
We thank you for so very much.
Thank you, Lord.
For his word. We thank you for the food today. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you that you are Lord. We praise your name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.